If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles with me in 1 Timothy. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that we can come to you because you're a lovely God. You're a great God. And God, you care for our needs, Lord. And Lord, you care for us before the foundation of the world was met. You saw our need, Lord. And you're going to create us and you provide the means of salvation, Father. And God, you see who I was and what I was going to be. And you provide a means to save me and change my life, Father. And I thank you, Father, for loving us. And then, Lord, you provide a blessing towards this world that we get to heaven. There's eyes have not seen, ear heard of the things prepared for us, Lord God. And you're just a great and mighty God. And I thank you, Father. Lord, this morning I do ask you for one is that if somebody's lost, will they see the need to get saved? Lord, second is that convict our hearts to live a holy and righteous life, Father. God, help us to start make a change in our life to Lord, live closer. People see you in our life, Lord. And Lord, there may be needs and struggles in our life, Lord. You know it. But Father, I just ask you this morning to move the Holy Spirit move through the aisles and the seats, Lord God, and speak to the people. And Lord, help your people to get closer to you, Father God. Help us have a burden for souls to be saved and a need for missions. And Lord God, help us to have the heart as you have, Father. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, I want to talk to you about worship and public prayer this morning. And the question is, I just prayed. I want to ask you this one thing. What were you thinking about when I was praying? Were you thinking about, are you praying along with me? What were you thinking? You know, the thing is, I'm just as guilty as a lot of people are. When people are praying, sometimes my mind starts wandering. And listen, prayer in public service is really important. And it's somebody's intervening, they're getting to the throne of God. And the thing is, when we're praying, are we allowing ourselves to get our interest of things at work, or are we letting things distract us and worries and pleasures pull us away? I mean, when I pray, what were you thinking? What was on your mind? Were you saying to yourself, amen, or praying along with me in that perspective, saying, yeah, God, and this too? God, praying that souls will get saved, yeah, and that, and so and so? The thing is, we ain't careful, we get distracted. And listen, I'm not trying to scold or embarrass anybody, but I just want to make, when we pray, it really is important. It's part of a worship, a public prayer. And this is where Paul is talking about public prayer, praying for the public. But listen, God has given us an important perspective of praying for every born-again Christian. Listen, He's given us a gift to answer prayers. Think about it. You can go to an almighty God, and He hears your prayers, and He answers those prayers. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it what? Shall be opened. For He says, for as many asketh, receiveth, and to him he asketh, or he seeketh, findeth, and says, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What a promise that we can go to Almighty God and He hears our prayers. So when I'm praying or anybody praying, He hears our prayers. He can answer those prayers. But yet He commands us also to pray. And He says, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying with all prayer and supplication. I mean, when we pray, it's important. We're praying, we're standing before God and we're praying on behalf of others that needs Him. What are you thinking about? Listen, when we know impersonally that God answers prayers in our personal life, there's many of you I've heard talking about how you prayed and God answered your prayers when you do it privately. And God speaks of praying personally and privately is important. Matthew 6:6 says, "Seeth he in secret and rewardeth thee openly." Listen, we go to God privately, He hears our prayer, and it's important to spend time in communion with God. But when we pray publicly, it's something important. It's not when somebody prays and we just kind of wander away or we're just kind of listening but not paying attention. It is a time we corporately get together and pray and get a hold of God and say, "Yeah, God, that's right," or "this and this, yes, Lord," or "add this," I mean, because it's important. Listen, prayer in public is important. It gives us instruction. Praying for public prayer, for public offices, and for people in the world. Look at number one with me, verse 1. It says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men." You only notice the practice of public prayer. You notice Paul is kind of saying, "I exhort, therefore," but yet reality is not Paul really talking to us. It really is he's writing by inspiration of God, but it's God telling us. Basically, God's urging me and you when we pray. Listen, it's an urgency of prayer. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of me. "I exhort you, therefore." Listen, he's talking about before that, you see the consequences where a man was not living right and they live a life of shipwreck. Maybe their life wasn't a shipwreck if they were praying and getting a hold of God. Listen, prayer changes lives. It's powerful. We're not just praying that's going to brief and say, "Well, okay, we did this part. We did ushering." Listen, praying is getting a hold of God. We start out with prayer. And maybe I'm not really emphasizing it as much as I should. We pray because we're getting a hold of God. When you Sunday school classes, do you start out with prayer? Why? Because God wants us to pray, but yet He answers the needs and requests. Are we just going through a process? But He says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all." You see the importance of prayer. It's a priority. How often we are service of prayer is really kind of brief. And we pray. It ain't the longevity. It ain't how long a man prays for 30, 40 minutes. It ain't that. It's the perspective like, "God bless the missionaries." What does that mean? "God bless Zachary," or "God help the missionaries." What are you asking? God said, "I already blessed them. I gave them salvation. I got them to the field." What are you asking? "God, help to provide protection," or "help from this, keep from sickness," or "help souls to get saved," or "help so-and-so with a specific need of problems like Miss Christine and her face." God, help her. It's being specific. Yeah. Priority. It ain't just briefly, "God bless all the missionaries. God bless this." God, souls need to be saved. God, help us to reach the world or help our church grow, not just in numbers, but spiritually we grow and have a desire of submissive heart, not full of pride, but humility and meekness in reaching the world. God, break our hearts. I mean, it's getting specific. Look at with me, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here we see the earlier church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostle." They didn't move back and forth. They were steady. They were firm. They were firm in their stance in the apostles' doctrine. In fellowship, this is where they had things in common. They had common. There were somebody was burdened. They were coming with that. Someone was joyful. They were coming with that. Somebody was going through trials. They were part of that. They were in coming together with that. It says in breaking of bread, the communion, and in prayers. Listen, the earlier church had a foundation of prayer. It was important to you. Have you ever wondered why people don't come to church? Have you ever wondered why people don't get saved? Have you ever wondered why people don't respond to invitation? Is it because of lack of prayer in our homes and our churches? I mean, listen, I don't know your heart. I just want to bring it out and get it together because I'm telling you, we look at our society, there is weakness in prayer. It used to be a foundation. It shook. Today, it's weak. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us tonight, this morning. Is it like our own personal life? Are we praying? We really are. When Brother Benny prays for the service or whatever, I say, "Brother, pray. Are you listening to Brother Benny pray and say, "Yeah, God"? Brother Danny pray for the offering. "Yeah, God." Soul need to be saved. Somebody's lost. God, deal with the heart. Convict them, God. Lord, bless this money. Use it for your will. And listen, this church should grow and reach. We need to do more for you. When I should pray, we should be agreeing with God. Hey, when I'm praying as a pastor and giving, is there any amens in the heart? When you say, yes, Lord, it doesn't have to be outward, but if you feel led to be outward, say amen, then there's nothing wrong with it. But it's got to be honest and true and say, yes, God. It's got to respond. We're getting bored. It's a unity, folks. It really is a unity of prayer. This church was a foundation, but they pray in unity. Has it ever occurred to you that God doesn't move in churches like He's doing, used to do? Because we're not unified in prayer. Listen, we want to be revived. We want to get closer to God. Listen, prayer works. Listen, no revival, no great things ever took place without prayer. No great awakening ever took place without prayer. That's where it started. We say, well, it will never have a great revival because they don't pray. Listen, that's it. That's the key. That unlocks the door. Because you're getting a hold of God. When you get a hold of God, He starts breaking your heart. And it starts affecting others around us. It's not this puffed up. It brings humility. Maybe we're not united in prayer, and that's why we don't see God working. Don't get wrong. Listen, God works in our individual lives in prayer. He really does. And again, I can tell you testimony of people here in this church show me how God answered prayers. And we have praises where God did this and God done that. We have prayer requests and we see God answer the prayers. I mean, we've been praying for Miss Sue's friend and he started responding. That's answer prayer. That's time we spend alone with God. But how much more as united as a local church praying, how much more could it do? Think about it. He's given us the power to reach the world. He's given us the power to unlock the keys of heaven, if you please, and get a hold of God. We as a local church can shake the world. You, me, together. Not just me, not just you. Us, collectively, as a whole. Agree and come. Then notice the practice. They were praying together. Listen, the particulars of public prayer. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks may for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. The particulars of public prayer. There are four words he uses. It's kind of emphasized on prayer. Supplication, that word means seeking or asking or entreating God. That's being specifically request. If people need conviction, then we need to ask God for it. The people you know are lost and you say, God, they need conviction. Maybe they're saved, they're living wrong. Pray that God will convict them. Be specific in your prayer. Maybe they need forgiveness and pray, God, that they'll receive forgiveness or God work in their life. How about food, clothing, housing? There's always a need. Brother Peterson looking for a house. Can we not be specific as a church and say, God, open that door? We can pray collectively and God can move. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication. Hey, people need to get saved. Can we ask for it? Is it important? Listen, he's telling us. Get a hold of God. This is part of worship. We come to God, Almighty God, and we say, you know, you're a great, wonderful God. We can go to Him, and this is what privilege we have. I mean, there's maybe other churches, they have entertainment. They got rock and roll bands and they got lights and they're entertaining. But we ain't here for entertainment. We're here to get a hold of God and God work in our lives and change us and reach the world. For there is judgment coming. And there's great rewards of those that follow Him faithfully, is there not? Listen, he said, not just supplication, but prayers. The word is general word. Kind of praying to address to God for worship. Prayer is not just including requests, but again, it's the idea of praise and adoration for Him. Before praise, but we should include worship. Listen, when I'm talking about worship, we think about what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, 36. Knowledge of who He is and what great God. Think about it. You're going to Almighty God that created the heaven and the earth. Listen, He has no sin and He will listen to you. And as a church, he said, I died for the church. And he said, I want you to come collectively and pray. And he says, I'll work through you. He said, I give you a command. I will be with you, Lord. I'm with you always. But listen, he said, you come to me, I will do it. If it's according to His will, say, God, we search His truth. And say, God, is this what you want? This is what you need? It's giving our hearts, but we got access to God. We're going to have faith promise. You think about it. God, what do you want me to do? And is God going to listen? Can this God take this little church and we have a goal of $100,000 a year in missions? Yes, yes, yes. Maybe our faith is not there today, but it can, because we got Almighty God that can provide. You don't have to be rich. We have a rich God that provides, folks. It moves. His idea of worship. Look at Psalms 99, verse 5. Psalms 99, verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." Before you start requesting things for God, acknowledging who he is, he's a holy God. Psalms 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." He's a good God. I mean, you kind of get around him before you start requesting. You kind of worship and saying, "God, that's why I pray and say, thank God for his mercy and thank God for his grace, because he's a great God and I can come to him." Time of worship. Hebrews 13, 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name." It's a time of worship, time of getting a hold of God and thinking about who he is and praising him and adoring him, how great he is. Listen, this is the particulars of our prayer we come to in the general, this kind of adoration and praise, and we make intercession for needs, and you know, so-and-so needs to be saved, or God, there's a need, they need a house, or they need a certain specific thing, there may be sickness, Lord, can you touch her or help him? I know your husband's got poison ivy and somebody back here has got allergic. Listen, can we pray and ask God to heal their bodies and help them? There's intercession, not just supplication, prayers, intercession. Intercession is a petition on behalf of our neighbors. And listen, you think we can converse with him freely? We can go to the chamber of God the Father, we can get there boldly to the throne of grace and commune with him. Listen, not just an intimate relationship, but it's an intimate behavior. We can talk with him like an interview with God. And listen, we can certainly speak to him. And on behalf of others, we can get a hold of God. Think about this morning, when we pray for the offering, were you praying together when we was in the chamber of God and saying there's a need? Will you bless this offering? Bless those that gave? And God, this money is going to buy tracks, it's going to be electric, so the place can continue to run, it can be a lighthouse, so souls get saved. Is it important? Oh my goodness, is it important? Oh, listen, we can intercede for others. They said not just giving the praying for supplication and prayers, intercession, but giving thanks. Giving the thanks. So we can be thankful for God's blessings. And when we're public praying, we really are particular praying, thanking God for what he's done for us. But for all, that listen, it says here, it says, giving thanks that be made for all men. Well, listen, we can give thanks for what God's done, but you know, we give thanks or pray for all men. That's a long list of people. I don't know everybody in Uzbekistan and Iraqistan and one of those places. But I know people here in Louisiana. I know people here in Alabama and Florida. I can bring their names up. I can bring up preacher friends I know and pray for them. And there's a preacher friend down here in Lighthouse Baptist down here. They need a piano player. I can go to God. We collectively say, you know, Lord, help that church. They need a piano player. It's a small thing, but cannot God provide? It's important. Giving thanks for all men. But we know that we how to pray for the unsaved around us. Loved ones we love, we care for, we know how to pray for them. We know they're saved, or maybe they're backslidden. We can pray them by name. But listen, how do you pray for all men? Hey, you know, Uzbekistan, whatever. Listen, once you pray that country gets saved, once you pray that those people get saved, once you pray and say, God, send a missionary. And God, if you won't send a missionary, send me. How can people get saved or our hearts not longing for those things, but we're longing for something else, entertained by something else, and we're missing it? Listen, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, it's important in our lives. Listen, public prayer, it's not just a casual thing. Think about it. I don't think nobody in here is intentionally not doing it. But it's something maybe we need to kind of ponder on a little bit and think about it. Because if you're like me, how many times our minds wander? Somebody's praying and something pops in your mind and I got to do this and got to get this. And that, listen, they really are at the throne of grace. So we're praying for souls to get saved or lives changed. Isn't that important? We know it's important, but we linger, don't we? We see not just the practice of particulars, but we see the purpose. Look at with me in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, for the kings and all that are in authority, but he says, that may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. This is the results of prayer leads to peaceful environments. And it leads to have a quiet and peaceful life. And have a quiet and peaceful life, it leads us to live a godly and honest life. Think about it. Nobody's here trying to kill us. We have an environment. But listen, we need to pray for our people of authority. Listen, the mayor and the governors. Listen, we need to pray for the lieutenant governor. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for all the Democrats that are just going crazy in socialism. We need to pray for them. Because we want a peaceful environment that we need to ask God to change their lives. But we, collectively as a unit, we can do difference, folks. He changed your life. Listen, think about the prayers you make privately, God answers. How much more would God do with us publicly? Why would we, when you want to live a such a quiet, peaceful life, so we can, listen, we can live a holy life that's pleasing to God. It leads people to Christ. We know that the Word of God brings people to Christ. Without faith, it says, so then faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But our life living changes. People, it's a lighthouse. Folks, they see it. They see a difference. If I'm not living holy and righteous, they don't see a difference. Why would they want desire Christ and they see no difference in you and them? Listen, it changed me. I want to live a peaceful, quiet life, to live holy, that's pleasing to God, and my desire to get closer to Him. In verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. It doesn't mean that everybody gets saved, folks, but it gives people a decision, opportunity to get saved. You know, you say, I know who Christ is. I talked to a guy and he said he knows who Christ is. He believed Christ raised, but he's living a good life. He's trying to do this and do this to earn his salvation. And he'll never reach it because he can never be good enough, can he? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's the grace of God. He paid the price. He had to finish and provide the means. But it does open the door for us to pray for all men. I believe that more we pray, more people can get saved. I believe if we really got serious about it, I believe that we really, 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 really quit playing and get a hold of God and say, God, now listen, that person needs to get saved. And because I believe in looking at that prayer sheet and all these people, their families, and it's just been, I'm here about 7 months, and it's bothering me because nothing's moving. Now, they got a choice, I understand. But don't we need as a collective to say, you know what, put some tears and heartbreak and saying, God, these people need to get saved. God, we need to send a soul winner or send me some. God, do something. I can't do it, but you can change their lives, God. It made a difference in the early church because they prayed collectively. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified due time. Why is it important people to get saved? For there is only one God. And there's only one person that goes between God, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen, sin separates us from God. Sin condemns us. Listen, sin makes us enemies of God. But there's only one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. He came between us and God, and he died on the cross. Listen, paid our ransom. Listen, he died so he could be a sacrifice to pay our sin debt. Now, a ransom is paid for someone that can be set free, right? So he became a ransom to pay our sins so you could be set free. He became a ransom to pay the ransom for the world could be set free. For God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten son. He became a ransom. The price has been paid for all. And listen, all a person has to do is trust Christ. And if that's it, we can go to God and say, God, you make the means, you make the provision. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With a heart man believeth on what? Unto righteousness. And with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, he paid the ransom, but you can be set free, but it's a choice you make. Listen, the thing is, it opens a door for us to pray. That listen, all they have to do is call on Christ, but it gives maybe an opportunity, one more day, an opportunity to cry on Christ and ask Him to save him. Listen, this the practice, the particulars, the purpose for men to be saved, but we see the prerequisite. Look at verse 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Then I see in verse 9 it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves. You notice that it goes and starts with women, but in verse 9 it says, in like manner. It's not just for men, it means man and woman, everybody. This is the idea that everybody, the prerequisite, lift up holy hands. And the only way to have a holy hand, if you please, is you've got to be saved. Listen, you have to be saved. That's the prerequisite. You be saved, but you can lift your hand if you want to lift your hand, but it's an opportunity to reach a God. And listen, have our hearts confess before God. You know, Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I don't confess my sins, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How can I lift my holy hand up and say, God, hear me, and I got iniquity in my life? How can I ask God to help so-and-so when they're so and praying and I got things in my life I refuse to get right? I'm so full of pride, I will not humble myself and God say, cleanse me. Because I love sin more than I love righteousness. But if I humble myself to God and say, God, hear my prayer and I cleanse, I can lift my hands up. But the thing is, people can't lift their holy hands up because they got to get saved. If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. But He goes on, it says, who will... Verse 8 says, therefore, if men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands and without wrath, and the without wrath means to hold no grudges and contention. There's a saying, quote said, prayer is a daughter of charity, a sister of meekness. You know, when you start praying for people, you're going to start loving them. How you can love your enemies? You know why you don't love your enemies? Because you don't pray for your enemies. You know why we don't love souls of men? Because we don't pray for souls of men like we ought to. God ain't breaking our hearts because we're not spending time and fasting and praying and getting a hold of God. Listen, when you start loving souls of men, it starts moving you. That love, and it starts humbling you down. Listen, he says without wrath, and he goes without doubting. The idea is one is disputing and arguing your mind and cause of not trusting. You know, you come to church and you're mad at a brother or sister. How can God, why do you expect God to hear your prayers? That's the thing is, we all are saying, we all got to get a hold of God and we all got to humble ourselves down before God and say, God, forgive me and try to be a blessing one to another. But the time of worship and public prayer is we're trying to get our life cleansed and get a hold of God and say, yes, Lord, I can't do without you, but we collectively can get together and say, God, help us and use us to reach the world. If we humble, if we cleanse ourselves, say, God, forgive me, and we get serious about praying, and say, God, what Brother Danny said, amen. God, so-and-so was praying about Uzbekistan. Lord, help us find somebody. Lord, help us to reach that souls over there. And Lord, nobody will go. I'll go. But God uses. Imagine we have collectively as a whole, as one. And God hears Grace Baptist Church. Listen, music of entertainment, great orators don't build a church. It's people humbling themselves before Almighty God and changing lives. He changed your life. And He's still trying to change our lives. Power of public prayer is effective. Acts 4:31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 12:5 says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Listen, this church of the foundation was a church that prayed. It made a difference. Do we want to see souls be saved? Do we really want to affect our community? Do we really want our hearts to be a heart of mission? I believe you love missions. But listen, we should love it more. Do we love souls? Do we want to be a soul-winning church? We want a church that when people says, hey, get Grace Baptist Church to pray because they get a hold of God. Like it's a miracle. Like it's something that nobody else could do. All we are doing is collectively getting together and saying, God, hear us. And as brother so-and-so prays, he say, yes, God. That and more. Amen. I agree, God. The question is this. Is God shaking you? This church was shaken. Is God shaking your life? You pray and nothing's changing. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Is God controlling you, leading you? The thing is this, if you're not saved, God can't work through you. You're an enemy. You have the wrath of God abiding on you. Your destination is the devil's hell. But His Son, Jesus Christ, says, come. I paid the ransom for you. You say, preacher, I've said the prayer. That's good. But prayer is never saved. It's the blood. Christians, is somebody here lost? And does it burn your heart and say, God, amen, what the preacher just said. God, there's my heart. I need a change. And, you know, I need to be more focused. And God, help me be part of this church and really pray and use this almighty God. Help us reach the world. It was just amongst 50. It was only 120 and they reached the world. Imagine what God can do with us. What can God do with us if we come to Him publicly and say, God, hear us. Direct us and hear us. Let's all stand, eyes bowed, eyes closed.